right, how's that? Better?
Sounds better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good.
Much better.
All right. All right, so just bring me up to date. What's going on, Ryan? What's in your mind, and what can I do for you today?
You can send me some prospects.
I will. I'm happy to.
since the last call, I actually reached out to one of the charities I'm looking to get involved in, and I spoke to some people, and I'm unfortunately, like, the next two meetings I'm going to be out of town, but I am going to be getting involved with that. So I took the first step there and made my intentions known. I researched the board of directors and read everyone who's got a bio on the website, which is about 20 people, and there's no financial advisors. There's one guy who's got a mortgage company, so, but other than that, that was good to see.
What's the charity?
It's Honor Flight, Southeast Florida chapter.
Yeah. You talked about him before. Your grandfather.
Yes. Yeah, my grandfather did it and really, really enjoyed it. So,
do you have to get on these flights, Ryan?
Get involved in. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. Sometimes you can chaperone veterans, or you can help set up like a welcoming committee when they get to the airport, or you can maybe sponsor some people, to do the trip, but it's just something I'm trying to get involved with, through my grandfather. I'm also still reading that book, Rob, that The Power of Full Engagement. It's like, it's really fucking with my head, to be perfectly honest. Like, it's really, really, like, every time I read a chapter, I'm like, it's powerful stuff. It's really making me question, not just about practice, but, it makes you question, like, how you're actually spending your energy through your life and everything. So, I don't know. I've had, like, a lot of bigger questions going on in my mind in terms of, like, what are we really doing here with our practice? What are we actually trying to build? Are we, is our practice in alignment with our values? And, like, a lot of big stuff. Has been going through my mind personally. And I haven't had a chance to sit down and map it all out like the book tells me to, but I think that that's kind of, what we are missing, I guess. Like, I know some advisors that are trying to get to X dollars to start their own funds, and I know some advisors that are trying to start their own private practices, and I think, like, for us, we've just kind of been here trying to do business. But we don't have, like, a bigger vision in mind in terms of, what we want longer term, for our practice. We did set a goal of $150 million in managed money, which is about $12 million above where we set the goal. And we're going through our practice right now and trying to convert more dollars over. And I've reached out to our B team guy to try to have a little bit deeper conversations with him about practice management and about, whether we're going to take our relationship with him to the next level and so forth. Unfortunately, his wife was, like, in Ecuador and got sick, and he had to, like, fly down there to get her or something. So I've not been able to connect with him for the past couple weeks, but hopefully – he actually emailed me, apologized, and said he wants to, catch back up. And then unfortunately last week, we had the market collapse the day after Barry left. Thanks, Barry. We also had two clients die. So, last week was kind of dominated with, dealing with beneficiaries. We've got the beneficiaries or engineers that are like, want to do tax lot harvesting on like 200 different positions, and it's not fun. And then I also spoke to one of my neighbors who is a part-time sales assistant for a team here in town. And she, you know, told me about how she got started and what type of compensation she receives and how she fits in with her team in terms of, you know, providing additional support and, you know, just handling a lot of the BS calls and everything that we don't have to do.
Right.
Because I'm...
Who was that, Ryan?
Lisa Silver. She works with... Mark Ryan, and that team actually just merged with the Pelican Bay group. So Tony Galea's daughter-in-law, Janine, that was here in the office, is working with them, and Rich DiMarzo, their fixed income guy from New York, is now kind of working with them out of the Boca office.
Okay, with Palmetto?
Military.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay, not a
So, you know, we're seeing, like, kind of how that fits in. We gave our assistant a raise a couple weeks ago, and you know, kind of let her know we appreciate
right before the market collapsed.
Yeah, the extra work she was doing and with the Supernova stuff, and you know, try to get her you know, more on board and more enthused about the process. That's kind of where we are. Our biggest letdown so far is we still haven't done the sentence room just like we need to, and we need to start doing the board. I think the board will help.
I just think if we can just go back to getting the setting up the plan for the book, not just half of the book or not just a third of the book. But if we can set the calls up for the book and really attack the quarterly stuff, we've done, I think most of us have done, you know, you guys gotta tell me, but I think you guys have already done the monthly ones. Now if we can go back to the quarterly ones, that I think can be a big help for us as well.
Yeah, Rob, like let's say I've got like 55 people I work with. I have like 30 of them on the calendar, and there's like 20 or 25 people that like I don't even want to schedule on my calendar. So it probably means I should not be, you know, working with them longer term. Like, how do you suggest to handle those situations?
Well, I mean, the reality is your brand is determined by your best client, but by your worst client.
Right.
Okay? And so how would you suggest, you know, when suggest that they describe the level of experience that they're getting? I mean,
if we schedule them now, we can always take them off later on. We can always give them to Mike later on as well. But at least if we schedule them, we move forward, we talk about what we're going to do, talk about process, and, you know, kind of go from there, then we can always have Michael come into play as we pull in other assets as well. But at least it's streamlining or making our business follow the same suit, et cetera. That's my thought, right?
Making butlers?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. They're not bad people. They're easy to deal with. Everything's going along. But if we don't schedule the quarterly calls, I think what's going to happen is they're going to get lost in the shuffle. That's what I found. And, you know, that way they're not getting any insurance, so at least put them on the quarterly calls. They're doing what needs to happen. It's stuff getting followed through. And, you know, yeah, they don't have $5 million and they don't have $1 million, but they're easy to work with. They do whatever we say, and they work, you know, they're easy to work with all steps of the equation.
Is there any reason that we can't have, like, that we couldn't change something and maybe have, like, with people like that, have calls every 4 months or stretch it out a little bit more if we don't think it's necessary? Or is that, would that not be a good thing to do?
Well, you're advertising then an ABCD model, okay? Which is what we, you know, what we got away from because it was too complicated. It was too inconsistent, and then our brand stood for, you know, not nothing. I mean, it just was whatever we felt like doing. So it's, you know, you got a choice. You can do that. I mean, then you're just like everybody else.
But what's the difference between 3 months and 4 months as well? Kind of streamlining it, follow through, it's on the system. I understand what you're saying, Barry, but...
It doesn't fit our calendar scheduling software either.
All right, so forget it. It was just I know that we all sit there and say to ourselves, but we're also going against the grain by not doing it the way we're supposed to. If we're not going to call the people, we probably should get rid of them. And that's, I guess, that's or their butlers.
Give
one
them
the
money. Rob, could you maybe highlight? I know you've done this in the past because I can think of at least one example, but what we're struggling with right now is, quite frankly, we've really grinded it out, you know, or you know, we've been working to get to a certain place, and we're finally kind of at that place at our company level-wise, where we're finally kind of hitting grids that are you know, a little bit more decent payouts. You know, we're qualified for some things that we didn't qualify for before. And now it's a really big leap for us to say, okay, let's just chop off the bottom 10% of our book and give up, let's just say $100,000 in revenue, whatever it is, I don't know. Or, you know, even $75,000 or $80,000 in revenue would probably knock us, you know, $50,000 probably knock us down a little bit right now. You know, I think that there's something to be said for, okay, if I'm dealing with 60 clients, and I now only have 30 clients, then if I'm really working and doing my job, I should have a lot more time to go find 5 good ones to replace those 30 that I gave up. Or I probably don't even need 5 good ones. Maybe I just need, you know, 3 good ones.
Right.
You know, give up $7 million in revenue. Maybe I need 1 good one. I don't know. But it's probably the case, honestly. It's sad, you know, but like, you know, I'm thinking of, I have a handful of people that I now have, you know, between 100 and 500,000, and they're not going to have that much more. And then the other thing that I'm thinking about, too, where it's like the things that stress me out the most at work, it's not when my $7 million client has a bad trade and loses $500,000. That doesn't stress me out like it does when my $100,000 client won't listen to me and is spending all her money away and giving it away to her grandkids, and I know she's going to run out of money, and I don't want to be the one holding her hand when she does. You know what I mean? Because then it's my fault. You know what I mean? Like, I told her, and I'm finding out that I think, like, I have, like, a lot of this, like, kind of subliminal stress about these types of people. Like, these are the ones that are really gnawing at me. The 65-year-old that's got $250,000 that said they're going to put money away for 10 years and never does, like, I'm not going to be able to get them where they need to go. And I'm stressing about, I'm probably worrying about it more than they do, you know, like, because I see it. So, you know, like, I think, not to sound like an asshole, but, like, I feel like I don't want to work with people that don't want to listen and I know are not going to be able to achieve the goals that I want them to achieve, because I feel like when it comes down to it, it's going to be my fault for not getting them there, even though it's, you know, only partially my fault or whatever. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
What do you think Rob Knapp would say?
Rob Knapp.
I think Rob Knapp's
not paying my bills. Yeah. We know the answer, but I'm saying, like, it's yeah. So I guess, Rob, what I'm asking you is, can you revisit maybe that guy that chopped his book down to 30 clients and rebuilt it into his dream practice? Or can you, like, maybe give us a 2-minute summary of some other people maybe that you know that have been able to say, I have 200 clients, I'm only working with my top 40, and I'm kind of burning this down and rebuilding it a little bit? Like, because I feel like if we were with those 30 or 40 people all the time, we'd meet more of their friends, we'd, you know, find more opportunities, you know, whatever it is. We'd meet their business partners, you know, like that type of stuff.
And to everyone's credit, we've done that. We've done that.
We
how many years ago when we were at Wachovia?
We still ignored.
Even here, we've done that to the degree. Now, you know, we may be up to our knees or our waist, but we haven't jumped in full bore like you know, Rob wants us to, and part
we're
of that
is... We're doing Supernova Light, Rob, is what we're doing. Yeah. It's Supernova Light.
But part of it is we don't want to take the revenue hit, and that's the true answer.
I'd rather have you take the revenue hit and be scared, okay? Because you guys aren't scared. You're not scared.
We're kind of fat and happy, I think is
right.
a real term.
You're not like really going, okay, Rob, I tried this. Tell me, I met with this guy. I've done this. I'm doing this. You know, you're depending on your existing clients to somehow miraculously give you introductions that is somehow miraculously going to help you grow. Okay? And you can't do that. You've got to work. You got to work at this. You cannot be part-time working at growth. You've got to be 100% in. And it just like when you started, okay? You guys had the courage to start. So you did it then. You can do it again, but you can't do it part-time. You know, you've got to be full-time focused on growing instead of, oh, we're making, you know, some phone calls and some we're not. And you're kind of half, you're right, you're halfway in. You haven't crossed the invisible bridge. I've never had anybody, you may be the first team ever, okay, but I've never in 25 years of coaching Supernova had anybody that when they did it right ended up doing less business. So that's one
thing. But that's kind of the key is that we have to do it right. Just because we've shrunk our practice and have less business and less clients, we're not using the time to the time's being used other places. Whatever that other place is, it's not being used to drive business to go out and spend time at a think tank or spend time at a mastermind meeting or spend time at the chamber and or whatever charity or spend time with clients. That's just what we're not doing yet, guys.
Right. You're not really hungry enough. You're hoping hungry.
We're being complacent about it.
Yeah, real hungry.
You're being lazy.
I mean, hungry from being scared. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of desire, but there's also like, oh crap, we got to work. And
yeah. You're
not going to get there by holding on to $250,000 clients, okay, that are going to sue you. I mean, that's a really bad model. Okay. Look, you're trying to perform acts on the high wire with a net. Okay? And so you're really not paying attention because you know if you fall, you're going to be okay. You got to take the net away. And then you'll pay attention. And then you'll be real. Then you'll actually listen to it. Okay? There's a difference between meeting me and listening to me, and yeah, it's a nice idea. I might try it. Okay, that's the difference. George,
hey, on a good, on a positive note, guys, Dave Jackson just dropped off statements for another $1.3 million.
Yay! There you go. Now you can get rid of $1.3 million of assets.
You suggest we do it like that?
Awesome.
Not jokingly.
Not joking.
No, I think that I actually think it's a good idea. At least there's somewhat of a come there's.
You have a plan.
Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Yeah, you have a plan then.
But I mean, do you think that's how we do it, or do you think we give away the stuff first? Because
giving away clients up to $500,000 is not a decision. Okay, that's easy.
That's what?
That's easy.
Easy. Okay?
Easy. I would give away all the people under 500,000. They're not producing anything anyway.
All of our clients are producing. Sure.
They're not.
Yeah, we don't. And think about it also, Ryan. Don't forget, if we give it away, we're still keeping a cut anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to give up stuff. That's the problem.
It is, and I agree. But, you know, I think...
We know it's the right thing, Larry. We all know.
Yeah, but it's the clients that we've had for 40 years or 20 years that are salt of the earth that, you know, are not a problem. We're just... that have never been a problem that we have a strong relationship with. So we feel like that's what we're dealing with now.
Yeah, I think there's an emotional guilt with giving up clients that you feel like they're especially somebody who's old and hard for them to find somebody.
Look, we're allowed to hold on to a couple of them, but we have a lot more than a couple of them. Right, Rob? We're allowed to have a couple of them make butlers where we just can't get rid of them.
Right.
Like, but that needs to be like 3 or 4 people, not like 25 people, right?
But even if we keep 10 of those people and we put them on the quarterly calls or something like that, it's a step at least in the right direction, is my point, Brad. That even if we keep more than we should, but we still do the right process or keep the same structure, even though we probably will...
Larry, all you're saying is it's okay to go halfway because halfway is the right direction. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes, it's better than not going halfway.
Right.
I think that we at least make sure that we don't have anybody below $500,000 anymore. To start. You know, at the absolute minimum.
Well, we're going to have some with butlers and stuff. Or, like, you know...
Children are the only ones that you should have.
Like the Neckles, there's 4 of them, and each one has between 2 and 5 with us. You know, like.
And that's okay. You can make them butlers.
Right.
But they need to be called. You can't just float them.
Right.
Okay, so everybody gets quarterly calls and one in-person meeting a year. And if it's not worth it to do that, then don't keep them.
Yeah, I've not done that this year with my out-of-town people. I've not been taking trips.
Here's the deal. This is why I explain butlers. If the person that passes away has... Let's say that they meet your absolute minimum is $2 million, okay? And you have a guy with $4 million and he has 2 children. That's qualified. If he has $2 million and he has 10 children, that doesn't qualify.
So I just lost a client who's got $1.3 million, and he has 2 daughters that have already said they would really like to continue working with us. Is there anything wrong with keeping those 2 as butlers at $600,000 apiece? Because the money hasn't been managed, and we're about to be able to manage it probably, and the one kid has more money outside, the others do not.
I would treat them as butlers, and as you grow, then I would reassign them. Okay. They've been butlers, I keep them as butlers. Okay?
Okay.
But directionally, I mean, I would never bring money in now where I didn't get rid of an equal amount of that money.
Well, I think that's an unsaid thing. I think Larry just brought in $1.5 million. I couldn't drop $1.5 million out. Gone.
Well, does that mean bring in $1.5 million, or does that mean like convert? Because like with Arnie, like we're gonna take you know close to $1 million that wasn't managed, and we'll likely have that managed. So does that mean we get rid of more?
guys, these are just statements to run the financial plan, but it's a step in the right direction because I haven't seen these ever before. So it's not that we have that asset in yet. We will.
But we have faith in you.
I know. So, but it's a step in, you know.
I think you get the idea. Less is better, so you
know
have
what?
More time to grow. Less.
You know, the truth is, sorry, I got a big delay here because I'm, go ahead, sorry.
So the idea is that less is better because you have more time to grow. If you are hungry because you are a little bit scared, it's better. Okay? We never want to put ourselves in the uncomfortable position, but that's when we perform the best. I mean, theoretically, you pretend you have no accounts. And then what would you do? Okay? So here's the game that I'm finding, guys. Everybody does great with Supernova service. Okay? Now, you guys are not doing as well, honestly. Most people are pretty much 100% Supernova at this stage. And they are calling 1242 with all their clients, and they have a few butlers. So they're pretty clean. Even then, though, they still don't execute on the acquisition piece. They just don't seem to take it seriously. I don't know why. I have no clue. I've spent 45 years figuring out how to help people grow. I teach them how to grow, and then they don't use it. Now, that, to me, that's kind of
it opens up to rejection, Rob. Like, that's what it is. People are scared to go out there and get turned down, and it's hard asking for the business. Like, that's
yeah, but you're already
part of the business.
Is it because you've won? It's because you're winners that you have trouble with rejection? You think that at this point you've already proven you can do it. You know, you shouldn't feel like, oh my God, you know, that makes me feel terrible. I mean, it should be like, okay, I've won. Who cares whether the person says no? I've already won. I'm a winner, right? So they can't hurt you at this point because you've won and you're making a living in the business. You're doing well. So it's not like, you know, they can, when they reject you, it's like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, in the old days, that's what that was like. You know, am I going to make it if somebody turns me down? You had no choice. You had to keep going. I guess it's just that sense of, you know, it's easier to stay in the igloo than it is to go out and hunt for the seals. You know, it's just safe and warm and cozy, and let's just not work. I don't know, but that's, you're not alone. That's why it's great to prospect. There's nobody prospecting. Okay, you think everybody's prospecting. There's nobody prospecting.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, maybe like us, you know, like we've worked so hard to build this managed money practice, and yeah, to your point, you know, to not have to work as hard on a day to day, and to not have to go out there and hunt for tickets every month, and you know, like we've built this, and we've gotten lazy because we can.
Yeah,
that's really it, I guess. You know, like if we have 80% of our revenue is recurring revenue, what are we doing with all of our time?
Yeah. All right, so here's my plan for today was to help you guys build a business plan before 2019, okay? Now, in building it, you're going to create the rituals around, I mean, the powerful engagement that Ryan's talking about is a good book
yeah.
for all of you to read.
Because I was about to bring up the rituals. That's the section I'm on right now.
It's not time, it's energy, and it's not discipline, it's rituals. All right? So you guys can form bilateral contracts with each other. When you people that work out are successful because they create rituals and because they create bilateral contracts with others. It may be somebody that they meet to spin at 6 o'clock in the morning. It is no more difficult for them to go and to be in that spinning class than it is for you to get up and brush your teeth. But to you that who's brushing your teeth and not working out, that person that's going to the spinning class, you think is crazy. Okay? You think, how the hell do they have that much discipline? It's because they have created a ritual. And the ritual, as painful to others, is not painful to them at all. In fact, they miss it like crazy when they don't do it. Partly because of the endorphins, partly because they have made a deal with their friends that they would meet them there at 6 o'clock. That's what you guys have got to do. You've got to create rituals around the activity. Okay? You don't get introductions because you want them. You get introductions because you've earned them. And you earn them by giving introductions. So my question will be, and should be to each other every week, is how many introductions did you give this week? That's where the work comes in. If you get, which you can all do, right? You can all give introductions.
Right.
Right? You can all do that. And you can all then have a good week in activity. You say to me, okay, Rob, tell me how they did it. Right? They did it by networking. Networking means what? Networking means help others. What's the best and single most? You just said to me, give me an introduction, right? My answer is, give an introduction. Then you will get them. You've got to develop the relationships where they understand the giving mentality. You give to them, they give to you. People that are, you do business in marketing with people that are givers, not takers. And they're out there, and nobody is prospecting. So they're all out there waiting for you, people that want to help you.
So, guys, just to piggyback on what he's saying, the reason the rituals are so important is because it makes these positive actions almost like subconscious for you. You don't have to physically decide and mentally decide that you have to do this work, because each of us have like a finite amount of self-control and discipline, mm-hmm. and every time we have to make a decision to do this work, we're depleting our wells of discipline, which we need for other things. So like if we say, you know, if you decide you're going to get up and work out every day at 6, it just kind of happens automatically without you thinking about it. As opposed to each night, if you had to decide, oh, I have to get up at 6, and you force yourself to do it, you're not going to do it because you may be tired because you made a lot of disciplinary decisions like about your diet or about other parts of your day that day. So then like you're kind of out of the discipline and you're just past it, and that's when you just say, shit, I'm going to sleep in, I'm not going to do it. Whereas if it's a ritual, you're not thinking about it. It just happens. And the more things you can ritualize positive behaviors, then
like brushing the teeth.
Keep you on the track. Yeah, brushing the teeth is what they used in the book.
Yeah.
It's like I can't go to bed without brushing my teeth. Like, I can't even sleep without brushing my teeth.
Right.
Mary Beth's hair drives me crazy.
Well, you can't get up without brushing your teeth, right? So you have rituals that you just will never do without. But giving introductions, that's a ritual you haven't made into a ritual yet. And there's
I guess.
See, there's skills that you need to learn and practice. You can't expect to be a great tennis player, golfer, anything, financial advisor, without learning skills and practice. You got to practice.
Hey, Rob, my phone's down for 1%, so I don't want you to think I'm waiting until it dies.
No problem there. Okay. So here's what I suggest you guys do. All right? You've got each other to create bilateral contracts. You've got multilateral contracts that you can have. But I suggest that you team up with each other and make a deal. Two guys, right? You can make them. You just pick one other person that you agree with, that you agree, and you tell that other person on your team what you're going to do and how you're going to do it in order to grow. What are you physically going to do every day in order to grow? And then you hold each other accountable to that on a daily basis. I've got a guy that that had problems with alcohol. And so we came to an agreement that he would send me an email at the end of every week. And it was a simple email that said, the waters are still, are bright and clear or something. The waters are bright and clear. And that meant that he's off the booze. And he's been good. And so I still get those today. He just sends me an email. So I tried it with a gal who was trying to prospect. I said, just send me an email. And make it any email you want. But basically it said you did your rituals this week. Okay? And so she's doing it. And she's back on the path. So the key is look, you're all going to get off the path periodically. The question is, who's going to get you back on the path and keep you on the path? That's what teammates can be for. But teams are funny. If you all say, okay, we'll all hold each other accountable. No, that won't work. You need one other person who you trust, that trusts you, that you will agree to doing activities that are in your best interest, that you truly believe will reach and generate the activity, generate enough activity, you're going to generate results. Right? So remember, we had seven different activities that would, there's actually eight of them, that would help you. You don't need all eight, okay? You can just use one of them. But my suggestion is you use one of them. If you need refreshers on it, you can go to the website and read. Look at every week that we went through the selling, went through the supernova model, and in every one we talked about developing niches, developing centers of influence, developing mastermind groups, understanding how to ask for and get introductions, the 90-day free look to help close people. All kinds of wonderful things that can be incredibly helpful in terms of creating rituals. And if you use them, they'll work. So the enthusiastically endorsed model is probably the best idea maybe we've ever had, okay? Because it gives you an unlimited group of introductions to give. And it builds you a fabulous golden Rolodex, which no one will have. And it's incredibly valuable. And then you become a resource person. So that's becoming the networker or the connector. So just to remind you, you ask every person, can you enthusiastically endorse your blank? And you'll never run out of questions to ask it about. You know, this week let's ask about commercial realtors. Can you enthusiastically endorse your commercial realtor, the guy that sold you your lease in your building? I don't even know who that is. Oh, okay. Yeah, I love him. He's fabulous. Okay, who is he? And you get to meet him. Or, no, I don't have anybody. Well, would you like to know somebody the next time your lease comes up? Yeah, I would. This guy gets enthusiastically endorsed. Let me introduce you. Or we've got a lease coming up. Or we're expanding. We need to move into another building. Do you have a commercial realtor? No. Would you like to be introduced to one that's enthusiastically endorsed and I frankly can vouch for? Yes. I have to give you three names. But this is the one that is the most enthusiastically endorsed by our clients. And you introduce them. So now you're providing real value for others. So you get what you want when you help other people get more of what they want. This Zig Ziglar from 40 years ago or 30 years ago, right? So it hasn't changed. The truth is, the best salesmen in the world always did this. But they didn't have it as ritualized as we have it. Okay? So, this is the time to build your business plan for 2019. It's a great time to get together. It's a great time to plan the year and to create a series of rituals that you'll stick to in the new year and begin to practice those and to get them down. So in every part of a business plan is personal development, a part that we never do, right? We learn, you do it because you hired me. So that's part of what you want to do. What are we going to devote to our personal development? Are we going to become a SEMA, a CFA, a CFP? Are we going to read books like The Power of Full Engagement? What are we going to do to make ourselves more professional and more highly skilled in our business? That's your personal development, and you guys are divided into the five stars: planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Each one of those is critical, and they encompass the entire business. So if you have those five write a business plan for their area, you will just encompass a comprehensive business plan for your business for 2019. So my suggestion is, you guys, each take on your own responsibility for your area, write out a business plan, and then submit it to me in 14 days. And then we'll work on it until we get it done and perfect. Now, business plan being perfect isn't important. What's important is the business plan be yours and that you own it and that you use it. Not good enough to have a come to Jesus meeting with me, you know, every 3 months. That's not important. What's important is we do something about it. And that we actually, you know, make this thing happen. So, Ryan, you know how to do this, right?
What do you mean?
How to build a business plan that I'm talking about, or do you need help?
I think you can get it done. I know there's a section on the book on it, too.
Because the gap analysis, all you do is do the gap analysis, right? So where am I in my personal, in my ability to do my job, and then where are we in terms of execution on the job? So if I'm in charge of planning, what are my skills for planning? How many plans are we going to do this year? How many updates are we going to do? And then break it down into monthly and then weekly. That's the scoreboard meeting on Friday. The game board meeting or the giving board meeting is Monday, and that's all about marketing, and it's all about giving. How many referrals did we give? Okay? So you have the five areas are planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, or growing, and leadership. Leadership keeps it all going.
Okay.
So the key is to turn over real leadership to somebody on your team and say, look, guys, We're doing great in terms of keeping our clients and et cetera, but people are dying and we need to grow. Therefore, we really need leadership, and we need to anoint somebody as the leader and let them be in charge and lead. And we've got to have discipline about letting them lead and accepting their leadership and accepting the process. If you do that, you'll be a great team. But if you fight or you don't adhere to it, then you're just a bunch of guys working together. You're not a team. All right. So you got everything. You got the talent. You have the talent, by the way. You guys don't, sometimes I feel like you don't think you do it. You've got the skills. You've got the talent. And if you need more of that, we can do skill training. That's, you know, great. Figure out what it is that you're uncomfortable doing, and we'll go back and skill train. I mean, I take golf lessons every week when I'm in Florida. I take tennis lessons, and I play college tennis. Why? Because I need skill training. I need reminders. I get better, even at my age. I'm still getting better. And that's what you should be doing. Always getting better. Always getting better. But you got to practice, and you got to take lessons. That's what we're doing here. But it's hard if you guys aren't engaged in the activity. I can't help you. I want to hear, hey, I tried this, I did this, just like Ryan said, I joined this group. You know, Ryan, it's going to work. Your goal is to become, remember, your goal is to become chairman of the organization. It's not to participate. You've got to have, when you go into it, you've got to have the mindset of I'm going to be chairman of the board. That's a completely different mindset than I'm going to go in and do my minimum.
Right.
Right? And that's what will get you the introduction, when you're leading. Because they will give you money when they see that you can lead. Okay?
Okay.
There's never enough time, guys. I know that. But you have all the videos. You have webinars on each different acquisition strategy. They're all there. You have my book to reread, and you have the workbook. It's all there. We've gone over it. You know that. Now you put it together. So each person in each discipline writes a one-page plan on what they're going to do in their area, and then you put them together, and you've got a business plan. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
Email me, call me, do whatever. I'm always available.
Gotcha.
I'm happy to help. But you got to just sit down and do it. All right?
And you'll, all right. You'll, so can we have him a business plan by the end of the month, guys? That's 15 days from now or 2 weeks from now or whatever?
Yeah. You want to
at least the 5 individual pages?
Yeah. Can you, Ryan, can you...
So I have it, and I'll work on it on the airplane. So.
I'll go back and...
And it will be, Barry, just do it from your perspective. It doesn't have to be perfect.
I will, but I want to, yeah. That's not what I'm saying. I want to see the template that how Rob wants it so that I can follow. I understand what you're saying, but I just want to see the template that Ryan said he has.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
All right, thanks.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ray. Bye.
Bye-bye.